Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjure Man of conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, JD of hoodoohousedetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's discussion on Thanksgiving blessings and magical spells. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man. Miss Cat?
Hi, thank you, Papa Newt. And a little shout out to everybody who has showed up here for the show, especially a hello to Shelby. And the answer to your question is, yes, he told us about it, but we haven't been there yet. And a hello to Phyllis Margaret Gabor. And I see JD is here, and of course, Conjure Man is somewhere lurking silently, and Lucky Mojo Curio Co.
Story of my life.
And Lucky Mojo Curio Co., is that Nagashiva or Papa Newt?
Me.
It's you. Well, oh, there's Papa Newt saying welcome, everyone. Okay, great. So I'm going to just start off with really quick announcements, and we're going to get right into our show, which is going to be on Thanksgiving blessings and magical spells with JD. But first, we give away free readings on Hoodoo Psychics every week on Magic Mondays. And Shelby, who is in the chat as Coastside Conjure, Shelby is doing these beautiful, fabulous little ads for these Hoodoo Psychics. And I want to say thank you, Shelby, because it's really picking up. Nagashiva does the ads with Deacon Millett for the Magic Mondays. And you can get a free reading from Hoodoo Psychics if you just sign up on Monday to do so. So last week's Hoodoo Psychics Magic Mondays contest winner was Stephanie Martini. And I'm sure that Deacon Millett has already contacted her. And she's going to get her free reading with the reader of her choice.
Stephanie Martin.
Oh, Martin. Oh, is that an exclamation mark?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that to me.
All right.
Stephanie Martin. Yeah, exclamation marks look like eyes, especially if it's an Italian name like Martini. All right, I stand corrected. Facebook Fridays is a giveaway that we do through Lucky Mojo Curio Company. We give away free products. And so this last week, our Facebook Friday winners each won a Love Herbs Mixtures packet. And our winners were Anna Rutzkagsdotter, Teresa Jean Schiffer, Brenda Green, Desiree Zabo, Brandy Rump, Matt Bennett, Karen Skouris, and Grant Mitchell. Wow. That was a lots of interesting names. And so each of them will get a packet of Love Herbs Mixture. Just contact the Lucky Mojo Curio Company on Facebook through our messaging service. We will never ask for a credit card. There is no charge. Everything is free, free, free. All right, here we are coming up on Thanksgiving, and we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving blessings and magical spells. So I'm going to say a welcome to Conjure Man.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
Yep. And I want to bring on JD, our guest. So JD, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ms. Kat. Hi, Nagashiva, Papa Newt, and Conjure Man, and everyone in the audience. How's everyone doing today?
Oh, well, we're doing fine. I've been very busy at the shop. I'm barely able to reset myself here. So we had more walk-in customers today than we've had in, since last weekend. All right. So let's talk about Thanksgiving. Now, we know every nation has their own festivals of Thanksgiving. Some are at the harvest, some are on different state mandated days. So we're Americans, so we're talking about the Thanksgiving that is the American Thanksgiving, which comes a little late, but in the harvest cycle, but it's kind of inaugurates what we in the United States call the holidays. And so American Thanksgiving is the third Thursday of November, just in case you haven't passed your civics test yet. And we have our traditional foods, as do others at their Thanksgiving. So I think most Americans at least have seen pictures of the traditional American Thanksgiving festival. And there are many ways to work blessings into that meal. And there are many ways to use magic during the holidays in general. I'm going to turn this over to you, JD, and tell us all about it.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Kat. And as you mentioned, Thanksgiving, we're talking about the American Thanksgiving, not necessarily how in Canada and other countries celebrate them at different times. And a lot of the traditions that we use in our Thanksgiving come from, you know, Native American and European customs and traditions. So my thought on today was, how can we prepare for Thanksgiving to bless ourselves, to bless our guests, to bless the people? And as we move into the holiday season, how we can use those gifts that we have gone to bless others. You know, and some common products. Well, first I'd like to say that a fantastic book that if you are interested in really doing preparing for Thanksgiving or Christmas or a holiday feast, and you want to have a book that's filled with recipes and info on how to prepare, you need to get Hoodoo Food. It is the best of the Conjure Cook-Off. It is just filled with page after page, and they broke it down actually into topics. So there's things on love, there's things for magic, or not magic, money, things for even hot footing someone. You know, and I'll talk about some of the recipes today that I think are fantastic for preparing for Thanksgiving. But there's other traditional ways that we prepare for Thanksgiving as well, or to get our house and home ready for blessings. You know, it is traditional to clean your house from back to front, to clean out the old and to allow for that new to come in. Mm-hmm. A product that I love to use is Chinese floor wash for its ability to remove negativity and to prepare for luck and goodness to come into the home. It's also sweeping the house with a new broom from the back to the front. These around this time of season, it's not uncommon to be able to buy a straw broom that is scented like cinnamon. So after you sweep, you can also flip it up at the door to draw in that money and that prosperity as we go into this new year. There's also some great products that we'd want to consider when you're looking at preparing for Thanksgiving. One that I love is Peace Water, which can be used for wiping down tables, for setting out bowls to really bring peace. I know typically everyone kind of gets stressed as we get closer to the holiday. And, you know, we all have that fear of that, like, family gathering and that tension that can come with some family. Peace Water is a great product to have to really cool tempers. Think about Psalms 23, you lead me beside still waters, to bring peace and tranquility into the home. House blessing and money house blessing oil are both great products, whether it be the oil, the sachet, the incense, to bring peace and blessing into the home. Holy oil is another very common one, as well as simple items such as salt, which is used for purifying.
Yes, those are all really good ones. I would say that house blessing is one that I really like. Peace water is good to add to that too, because there are a lot of, you know, people show up for Thanksgiving, but not every member of the family or the friendship circle is on the best of terms with the other members. So, holy type oil is a real interesting one because people give thanks. So depending on what religion or culture ways you have, you may say a prayer of thanksgiving before eating. And so one thing to do is maybe the house is, you know, chaotic. You can spray peace water all over the house, but you might want to put some holy oil where the actual, and I'm going to call it ritual of the feast is being held. You might want to wipe that down, wipe the hutch down with a little holy oil so that everything is really pure in the dining room where the food will be served. What about you, Conjurman? What do you think are good ways to bless the home for the get together?
Yeah, I think peace water is really popular. I will say that in Virginian conjure, and particularly in North Carolina and South Carolina, you generally wash the table first with Forthy's vinegar, just a little bit, as a cleansing act. Or Forthy's vinegar was also included in as a dressing of some sort for the salad or whatnot as a protective measure. And so there was this way in which peace and protecting went hand in hand with one another. The idea that when the family got together around the holidays, whether for Thanksgiving or whatnot, there was always a possibility of tension. And so you wanted to balance the serenity work, the peace work with some type of protection water. And so I was taught in one of the interviews that I did is actually wash a little bit the table with Forthy's vinegar before sprinkling peace water or holy oil on the table. So there was a sort of layering that was happening. You first protect and then you add in and anoint with holy oil or with peace water. Another one is 7-Eleven holy oil is very commonly used during this time. It actually has scents that are very holiday scent-like. If you open up one of the bottles and smell it, you're like, this smells like the holiday times, and there's a reason for that. And that's generally used. Adding just a couple drops in an oil lamp that you have going both sets the mood and will fill the entire area up with peace and serenity. So you can actually use oil lamps for this, not just candles. A couple drops of holy oil or 7-Eleven holy oil into a lamp. Have that lamp going the entire time that family is over.
That's a really good thing, and that brings up something else. In a lamp or on table candles, people often will use their fancy silverware or fancy brass candlesticks. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I love to do. I love to eat by candlelight. And so what you can do is take the oil of your choice. For instance, to clean the place up, you might want to use Van Van to, have it be grateful and thankful. You might use blessing oil. And but if you're going to use candlesticks, there's going to be a stand. And those stands are usually hollow. And you can peel off the felt at the bottom and put a little prayer in and then just glue the felt back on again with a little rubber cement or goop type glue. And so the prayer is now stuck inside the candlestick. If you're afraid that people will hear it rattling around inside, if it has a big base, you can duct tape the prayer up inside the candlestick. And if it doesn't have a base or again has four little legs, no one will see it. It'll be fine. So that prayer should be for all the people who are coming to the event. And you can name them, you know, may Auntie Joe and Uncle Ernie and so-and-so be calm and quiet and eat in peace, for instance, might be the candlestick that goes at their end of the table. And, you know, may Uncle Bud not get raging drunk. It might be in the candlestick that goes at his end of the table. And in the middle of the table where everyone nice sits, you can put, may we all dwell together in harmony. You can put Psalms 133. Okay, so Psalms 133, and I bet Newt will give the little bit of the first line's text, is the one for the family, for brethren to dwell together in harmony. And that's a beautiful psalm to put into the candlestick or to pray over the candles as you light them. Now, you might not have a candlestick. You might have a big salad bowl. I like to use the fruit compote type bowls because they have a stand and under the stand is hollow. And very few people are going to pick that up and hold it over their head and look and see if you put something underneath it. So you can, again, take a prayer and put it under that fruit compote, or if you have a pie serving dish that's on a stand, put your prayer for the blessings and love of everyone, and just duct tape it under there, and it'll stay. And you can add new duct tape prayers every year if you want to. But that kind of a dish that's on a stand is really useful for this. And I'm just going to give you that piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one. A worker from Louisiana once taught me that whenever her family gets together for Thanksgiving, what she usually does is she takes a photo of the family members. And so she actually takes a photo every holiday year to use next year. So this is like a tradition where every year they take a family photo, and then she takes a copy of that family photo and uses it in this working, so that every year she creates this sort of cycle of peace. And what she does is she takes that photo they took, and on the back she writes Galatians 5 verses 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Then she takes a sugar cube, puts it in the center, folds it up, and puts it in a small potted plant with a fresh basil. She then keeps this in the center of the dinner table or in the kitchen, and it always keeps the peace, she says, because wherever basil is, no evil shall enter.
Wow. So that can go into a potted plant, or it can go into a vase. No one will know that that's, again, you can put the prayer at the bottom of the vase. Be creative in how you distribute things. That's really great. And a vase of flowers is always good for that. Now, the flowers that are used at Thanksgiving are the autumn flowering flowers, and one of the most common would be chrysanthemums. But there are others that bloom at this time of year. And you might want to go to my webpage on floriography, which has the meanings of different colors of chrysanthemums, different colors of carnations. Carnations can be had any time of the year. And read about the meanings that they have. And if you're going to make a central bouquet at the Thanksgiving table, make it low. Don't make a tall one, because you want people to see each other across. But in that vase, you can put flowers of different colors that have different meanings. For instance, if you put in striped carnations, it means I refuse you. So you don't want to be using that at Thanksgiving. But if you put in some solid red carnations, it's for love, or pink carnations for friendship. So you make a little bouquet and put that on the table. If you can't put it on the table because you've got too much food, have that bouquet, and then it can be a tall vase and have it by the hutch or someplace, or in the living room where people will see it. In fact, having several bouquets is always a good idea. And I really believe very strongly in the use of bouquets to carry a message. So you can go to Your Weight and Fate, and there's a category there called floriography. But in the floriography category, there's a long link to the floral oracle, which I wrote with Nagashiva. Okay.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have can we mention simmer pots real quick? Because I love scent. Scent is one of the senses that is strongly associated with emotions. It's tied to memory. It's tied with feeling. In fact, there's been studies that show that changing the scent of a room will actually determine whether people are irritable or not. They did this actually as an experiment when people are in the waiting room of an office, or when they're in the waiting room of a line, or whatever they're sort of waiting. The different scents that they're exposed to will determine whether they will be patient while they're waiting, or whether they will get frustrated and lash out and become, you know, sort of a Karen-like figure. It's also one of the reasons why if you go to Disneyland smells a certain way, and everyone still is very calm and peaceful despite waiting in those really wild lines. And so using a simmer pot in this way is really, really useful. These are herbs and spices that are generally added to a pot, brought into a simmer, and really make the home smell wonderful. You can add to your simmer pot cinnamon, cloves, and orange peel, which is really good for bringing both the sort of a holiday scent, but also keeping the peace and the serenity of the home. And as you let it simmer and let the sort of scent linger in the air, you can recite Psalm 29, verses 11, which is generally used to bring peace in the home. In psalmic magic, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. That fortifies your home against disruptions, and it keeps the peace while everyone comes over.
That's a great thing to do. I also want to say something for frying garlic up before you start to cook.
Garlic.
So garlic protects against the evil eye.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, protection against anything bad. So what you want to do before you start cooking, you just want to take some garlic and just a little saute pan and just fry up some garlic to start the idea that we're cooking and all is protected. No evil can come mm-hmm. into a place where garlic is.
This is also why Italians hang garlic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They have mm-hmm. garlands of garlic mm-hmm. because it is protective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a great one. And it also goes against the evil eye, garlic does. And the evil eye can happen when people get together because they might envy one another's vehicles, mates, children, clothing, or other things that are, you know, they perceive as being better than them, and they covet them. So frying up garlic is always a good first step whenever you're going to have a community meeting. You don't have to use it all. Just fry it up and let the smell say we're cooking. If you're just having, of course, cookies and tea and, you know, a little cucumber sandwiches, you don't want to be frying up garlic. But that's for, you know, we're going to be having perhaps a big meal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about one other food we haven't mentioned yet, and that is sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes or yams are in the same family as John the Conqueror root. And so it is a root of power. And so that is something that most people don't know. They just don't get it. But if you held a big yam in your hand and you could just imagine sort of blowing out, you'd see it was the same size, or not same size, but the same shape as a John the Conqueror root. So this is very important if you want some power in the situation. I'm always so disappointed when I go to Thanksgiving and they have a bowl full of sweet potatoes, which they've scooped out all the guts and thrown away the rind or the skin, because they've taken the power away from it, if you know what I'm saying. And so they have good power, and I always serve them whole for that reason. Just to say, people don't notice these things, and that is how it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you're, anything that you place on the table should be seen, whether it's sweet potatoes or whatnot, should be seen as a spiritual act. So what you're offering people to eat, what you've prayed over. So I think Ms. Katz bringing up something quite important here. Be intentional in the type of food that you're mm-hmm. giving, and also be aware of the spiritual qualities of the food that you're giving. Commonly, you will have salt and sugar that are placed on the table that people can use, whether they're putting it in their coffees and teas or salt on a little bit of something. Both of those carry prayers very well, and so you can pray over those quite frequently. Almost all the root workers that I knew growing up generally always placed a small petition paper with prayers in the bottom of the salt shaker. This is not a clear salt shaker, so that people wouldn't be able to see it as they're sort of putting salt on their food. And it generally, the way it was done is that in the salt, you would put a protective prayer, and in the sugar, you would put a prayer of peace and serenity. And so long as they remained on the table, it would guard the home and it would bring peace and serenity in this sort of Thanksgiving blessed environment.
Really good. I want to say one more thing about the sweet potatoes. Definitely praying over them is good. And because John the Conqueror is associated with gambling luck and with male power, make sure that you give the really nicely formed, nice, large sweet potatoes to the men with a quiet prayer that you know, that they have a lot of male power, but in a kindly way. It's sweet potatoes, after all. And the white potatoes, I always believe you should serve them whole too. I find that eating those particular foods whole gives the prayer for the Thanksgiving a little bit better. Same with corn. I like the corn on the cob. I'm just sort of that kind of a person because corn represents wealth and coins. And I like to eat my corn off the cob.
Mm-hmm. That's great. JD, do you have any workings that you do for blessings? I mean, we've talked about peace quite a bit. And we've talked about protection quite a bit. But like, are there ways that you sort of bless the family members that come over, whether it's to food or the table or other means?
Yeah. And one of the things you talked about already was the simmer pot, you know, with basil and orange peel and cinnamon, a bay leaf, which promotes joy and peace in the house.
Oh, that's
great. Like, it just kind of sets the mood and the smell. You know, we're talking a lot about cooking, and Ms. Kat mentioned it, the importance of praying over the ingredients. You know, anyone can combine ingredients, but it's your intention and prayer that really drives what those ingredients are doing. And we talk more about this a lot often around New Year's when we look at like the traditional New Year's meal where you have like, you know, your cornbread and your greens and your black-eyed peas. Mm-hmm. You know, we recognize the tradition of praying over those, but the same here for Thanksgiving as we prepare, you know, for example, pumpkin pie mix, Ms. Kat talked about it, like that's a strong blend for bringing prosperity. So while you make that pie, while you use those herbs, praying over them and calling on that spirit for that work. You know, as we prepare greens, many families prepare greens for Thanksgiving, which really represents drawing in money and blessing the family with money. A lot of items, for example, that go into making dressing. You have sage, which is protective and brings wisdom, bay leaves that bring success, rosemary, which wards off evil and brings blessings to the home, salt that purifies. So as you prepare the dressing, praying over those herbal ingredients as you prepare it. You know, one of my free spell today actually talks about what your question was, so I'm kind of avoiding answering it.
Oh, no, don't. Yeah, yeah. We'll tease it so people can stick around.
About blessing the prepared table and how you do that for all of the members and everyone that's going to be there. But a lot of things that we've already talked about. And then one thing I'd like to mention, too, that we haven't really yet is about how setting a blessing and thanks also for our ancestors or those who've passed before us through this year since the last Thanksgiving. And, you know, we just had Veterans Day here in the United States, and there's a tradition called the White Table where they, you know, set a white table aside and remember the veteran who's no longer with us. And many Hoodoo practitioners also set tables or spots for ancestors to remember them as we go into the season. This could be a table that's set for general ancestors. It could be set for a specific person who's no longer there with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are traditions of the empty chair also. And the empty chair is something also that comes out of the military, out of the Civil War era. You set an empty chair for each person in the family who passed away during the past year. And some people will actually, not just empty chair, they'll put a plate and they'll put a small serving of food on it. And then the food will later be taken to nature to be given to the animals. Mm-hmm. So not everyone does it, but it's a very old custom. So that's a good one. That reminds me of something else that we would like to talk about, which is at Thanksgiving, people usually have a couple of what I would call old style spells that they do that they might not think of as spells. And one of those is the spell of the breaking of the wishbone. Now, when I was young, we would always have turkey. And then usually the two youngest people, sometimes it would just be any two people, would grab the wishbone and break it apart, and whoever gets the biggest end is the winner. Their wish comes true. But if you're just serving the turkey, it usually takes 3 days for the wishbone to dry out. So what I tell people is carve it up, take the wishbone out, and put it in the oven with the door open so it'll be dry by the time the dinner is done, and then the wishbone can be broken very neatly. And people can have the pleasure of doing it rather than having to come back 3 days later to break the wishbone.
Mm, that's great. Another one of those sort of things that is not often viewed as a spell, but actually is, and is quite common, or was, I should say, quite common. I don't know a lot of people that still do it, but they do it around Thanksgiving, and it's done throughout Christmas, and that is the creation of pomander balls. That is these little oranges that are studded with cloves, and they're often used as sort of scent and as decoration, but they're actually incredibly great for blessing. So this goes back to my question about blessing the table. Anyone who makes a Thanksgiving table generally has decorations on there. They have centerpieces, they have dried fruits, they have flowers, they have whatever, and pomander balls are sometimes there as well. Less common these days, but you take it and you take an orange or a tan or a mandarin, and you stud it with cloves, and you can stud it in various designs. Some people make spirals, some people make straight lines, but they're very aesthetic, very beautiful, and particularly if you recite over 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 16, now may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord will be with you all. Then you tie a little green ribbon around it to make it nice and decorative, and you place that on the table or give it out as gift, or you place it there while people are eating, and you will bless that entire table, and you will bless your guests as well.
That's a really good one to do. And those kinds of scents, again, the pomander balls, the stewing or simmering pots, those really do have a strong evocation of the coming of winter and the blessings of prosperity and peace and friendship. Cloves are particularly noted for friendship. So, now, another thing that people do around Thanksgiving is to donate food to the poor. And without going off into a giant side trip about current political situations, but you all know what I was going to say anyway, right? Right? So it's very important at this time to give food to food pantries or to neighbors who need food. One of the customs of Thanksgiving is to prepare plates for the elderly who cannot come out for Thanksgiving, and, you know, call them in advance and say, can I bring you a Thanksgiving plate? And you would prepare a plate of the food for them. If they get many plates, they can freeze them, of course, and all they have to do is heat them up and microwave them. So make sure that you give plates of food to the elderly, those who no longer cook, those who are too disabled to cook. And they will always appreciate plates. I used to go to a church in which people signed up to go on Thanksgiving to bring people to a Thanksgiving meal, or if they were housebound and couldn't get out mobility themselves, they would be brought a plate of food from the church. And more than one person brought them, and it would be a thing, and they would pray together, give thanks, and then that person had their Thanksgiving dinner. So that's a common way to do it. Now, the other thing that this brings up is giving canned foods. So, JD, why don't you tell us about giving canned foods and how you bless them at Thanksgiving?
Sure. What I like to do is to use blessing incense, particularly for canned or non-perishable items. Prepare them, wipe them down, wipe them clean. Burn some blessing incense while you recite Psalms 23 and 100 over the items, and then praying that these items nourish the people that they are meant for, that it provides for them, and that it brings blessings to them and to their home and to their life. And, you know, and then you donate them freely to places. A lot of people don't know, but Psalms 100 in the churches is known as the Thanksgiving Psalm. In the Psalm, it talks about giving thanks and praise to God. Another thing that I like to do also, which is very common from now until Christmas time, is that people will often give money. They might give it to the Red Cross, to put it in the red bucket. They might give it to organizations or people in the streets, and is taking coins or dollars. And if you use coins, wash them in a blessing bath. If you use money, dust it with blessing sachet powder, then set them under a white candle dressed with blessing oil. And it, depending on how you're going to use it, maybe money drawing oil, if you're going to give it to the poor, and then pray that this money draws more kindness to them, more people to them, and that this money blesses them, and then give it out freely throughout the holiday season.
Wow, that's a nice one. That's a really good one. You know, another thing that I was taught as far as blessing money to give out is that when you give it out, it's important that you do so freely and don't just say, I have vowed to do this, but just, you know, give it from your heart during the Thanksgiving and holiday season in general. Don't say, well, I've got to be asked first, right?
Right. Another group of people that you can give money to, in fact, in addition to the poorest, children. There's a very strong theory in sort of Mediterranean culture that when you give to children, the money actually spreads throughout the world, just because sort of children run about and whatnot. So, you know, it's pretty customary during the holiday seasons, including even in Thanksgiving, for an older relative to sneak you a $5 bill or, like, you know, right? They always put it in your pocket or they shake your hand and they hand it to you. And the idea is that they're blessing you. But of course, the ones they bless you, you go out and you spend that money, and that sort of blesses other people. And it spreads that blessing as well. And you can actually fix the dollar or the money to sort of spread out there so that you can, you're sort of spreading it. You go out and give it to the poor, you give it to some children, and that increases the blessings in the world and magnifies it.
Yeah. That's that. Coastside Conjurer said, give without expectation. And Nagashiva said, Morgan dollars. He knows my childhood. I was given old-fashioned dollar coins that were no longer being made, and that was a custom in my family to be given a Morgan dollar. So, and I ended up with a big pile of Morgan dollars because I kept every one.
There's always something really cute about, you know, kids that collect coins like that, or the money that they've gotten. There's something really cool.
Well, I knew my grandmother told me they were worth more than a dollar, but I didn't know about coin shops, so I just kept them. when I found out about coin shops and found out how much they were worth, I thought, I'm glad I didn't sell them because their worth has gone up every year. The Dumb Chris says, love it, have a JFK half dollar. JFK. There's a guy I found on YouTube who buys Eisenhower dollars and cleans them up. He dips them in some chemical that brings the shine back without scratching them. And he gives these away to children, only Eisenhower dollars, because he served under Eisenhower at some point, or he voted for Eisenhower. Like, Eisenhower's his guy, right? he's just an old man. And I mean, he's real old now, and he's the Eisenhower dollar guy. And I think, well, he's like a Santa Claus giving away the money. It's very nice.
Interesting.
Yeah. So another thing is the taking home of plates. So when the food is when the meal is done, one of the weird things that happens, I've noticed, when a mixed or blended family comes together and everyone brings a dish, there's this kind of like acceptance and refusal to take back what you made, or wanting what someone else had made. And in my family, everyone got plates. And that didn't mean one plate for the family. It meant a plate for the husband, a plate for the wife. So here, let me give you some slices of turkey, and here's a sweet potato, and here's a baked potato, and, you know, here's a slice of pumpkin pie, and that, you know, whatever, and here's your fruit salad, and here's your plate. And so everybody got a plate to take home if there was too much. But if something ran out, well, you know, you had to kind of make it nice. But every one of those plates is for people to put away, maybe to eat for leftovers. But I've been to people's Thanksgivings where they kept all the turkey for themselves. Mm. And that was almost like a curse to me. I mean, like, I don't even get a few slices to take home. No, that's their turkey and they're keeping it. So those are the people who you don't go back to their Thanksgiving parties. next year.
Yeah, a little greedy there.
Yeah, very, very much so. But again, at many Thanksgivings, everybody has a specialty food that they bring. And that food should be indicative of you, your culture, whatever. I have a family of quite mixed people. And so we have all kinds of strange things come out at Thanksgiving. It's like a giant smorgasbord. There'll be, you know, sushi and turkey and tofu rolls and, you know, lemon bars and pumpkin pies, just like this, like everything from everywhere all at once. And the courtesy is that you must eat a little bit of everybody's everything and praise them. And that is also a blessing. Because if you shun someone's food, well, you might shun if you're vegetarian, you might shun the meat, but a good Thanksgiving party should include food that everyone can eat and everyone should taste it all.
That is great. Yeah. Sharing, yeah. The sharing is the spirit, is in the spirit of the mm-hmm. season. I want to mention about fixing a house so that you work in sort of layers. And this is something I've talked about in the past. In which, you know, anthropologists have discussed this and scholars of magic have discussed this, in which magic is a type of symbolic action in which you are in many ways creating a narrative. Kat has talked about this when she's talked about using the tarot for magic, the way in which you create a story. Well, you could do the same thing with the sort of ingredients and products that you use. And when you think that way, that can be really useful in Thanksgiving blessing spells or protection spells. So one thing you can do is work by creating a narrative with the products or creating these layers. Take some salt and make a line across the door on the outside in order to keep the home safe so that only those who wish you well and no one with the evil eye steps across your threshold. Then when you get inside the house, take some house blessing powder, some sachet powders, and sprinkle it in the four corners to bless the entire home. Take some peace water and sprinkle it in the bathroom, because the bathroom is where people gather to plot and scheme and to gossip sometimes, particularly with sort of family events. That's where people get pulled aside. Or in the bedroom. So you sprinkle the peace water in order to keep the peace. And then get yourself a jar of sugar. Write everyone's name on a cinnamon stick. Big old cinnamon stick, write people's name on there, or you can just write the so-and-so family. You then put that at the bottom of that sugar jar, stir it up, shake it up, and keep it in the home, and it will keep the peace between everyone and bring blessings and sweetness to all. You should, in fact, be using that sugar in your baking. So you will sprinkle that in your cookies or in your pies or whatever you're baking. You will use that fixed sugar. And this way you've created this layer that tells a story of what you want to happen in your home. You only want certain people to cross the threshold. You only want people to gather in peace in these bedrooms. You want people to be blessed when you're in your home, and you want people to partake in the sweetness.
It's really great. And praying over sugar and using it in recipes, usually people would think that only means sweet recipes, but you could even put a very small pinch of sugar in any kind of meat dish or in a fruit salad, and no one will know the difference.
You can always mix up the sugar and use like a brown sugar or something when you're making your glazes to
That's right. I find also that because lemon is good against the evil eye, I like to, for the Thanksgiving, make sure that rather than, you know, making buying a bottled vinegar-based dressing, I often will use lemon and oil with herbs in it, rosemary being one of the primary herbs. So, because that protects against the evil eye.
That's fantastic. You can actually use that also for just decoration. If you get yourself a nice basket, fill it with oranges and lemons and sprigs of rosemary and put that out as a centerpiece. There you go. A very powerful, protective, peaceful, blessing working.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now, one of the things that people do often is to put out centerpieces with little gourds on them, ornamental gourds, maybe some fancy corn. And so that's another way of honoring the Native American roots of Thanksgiving as we celebrate it in America. And so sometimes called the fall decor or something. So that would be dried corn and gourds and pumpkin. Those kinds of things make a beautiful centerpiece. And when you do that, be sure to pray for the peace of the land and to thank the Native American people, and to also vow to do good for Native American people during the year.
That's great, yeah. Gourds. We don't do a lot with gourds, but there's so much there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a bit of a testament to the way that we're sort of disconnected with from our mm-hmm. food these days, and also the different. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I think it might be 5 or 6 years since I've seen someone put a gourd out or mention a gourd in any of their cooking. That's sort of surreal. When you brought it up, it just brought memories back, because when I was younger, you saw it everywhere, mm-hmm. especially around this time.
Well, you know, people are eating more and more prepared foods, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But even in terms of decoration, you just don't see gourds as much anymore.
You do out here in the north.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Our grocery stores are full of little pumpkins and gourds. I mean,
5 or 6 years, I don't think I've seen. I mean, I see pumpkins, certainly, yeah. But no other gourds.
They still have them out here in California, Northern California, at the roadside fruit stands and things like that. And one of the things that also you can, some of these members of the pumpkin cucumber family will keep a while. So you can use pumpkins for decoration on Thanksgiving and then make a pie with them later. And the same with acorn squash. Mm-hmm. If you already got sweet potatoes and you got potatoes, you really need acorn squash on top of it. But put some acorn squash out for decoration. And then during the next week, you can bake them up and they're wonderful. And they will keep, of course, you know, for half the winter. And so you just get them now when it's the right time, but use them for decoration. And I love them. They're good.
That's great. Yeah.
You can also use gourds and pumpkins as container spells as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. And there's a lot of old African spells made inside of gourds.
Yep.
Mama E did a show a few years ago just about pumpkin spells. And maybe Nagashiva or Papa Newt can find that, the date of that show. Mm. It was really amazing. She comes from Cuba, and she had a tremendous number of pumpkin spells, pumpkin magic. It was like overwhelming. It was like I didn't know there was so much. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
That's a fantastic. Yeah, Mama E's really well knowledgeable about those things.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, there's our music, and we have covered Thanksgiving spells thoroughly.
Very much.
All right. Thank you all.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time, the Crystal Silence League Hour, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line read entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And now it's time for our free spell with JD of hoodoohousedetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. Take it away, JD.
Thank you, Papa Newt. This is a blessing, the prepared table, preparing for Thanksgiving. Items you'll need is peace water, salt, honey, butter, a white candle, a prepared dinner table, a Bible for the Psalms, blessing or house blessing oil, pumpkins, gourd, cinnamon, a penny, and bread. To do this work, you'll first start by cleaning the table, and then wipe it down with peace water as you recite Psalms 23, You Lead Me Beside Still Waters, then pray asking that peace and joy be brought to all who gather at this table. Take a fresh tablecloth, if you use one, and drape it over the table. Set the table and prepare an ancestor spot. Pray over the plates as you set them. I bless these plates and I bless those who eat of these plates. I bless the hands that prepare this food. May every bite of food nourish and bless those who eat of it. Amen. Over the ancestor spot, call out the names of those you are calling on while you knock three times. Or you can do a general statement such as, I call on my ancestors while knocking three times. Then say, I bless those who came before me and made the way, whose hardship prepared the way for our blessings today. Come and eat with us, rest with us, and bless us. Amen. Take the honey and pray Psalms 100, and then state, let sweetness sit down with us. Let no sharp tongue rise up. Let every heart be soft and every word be kind. Amen. Take the butter and soften it, and then mix it with the honey and pray as the butter is soft and the honey is sweet, so that the hearts and minds of all who eat at this dinner will also be soft and sweet, and set that next to the bread. Then at the centerpiece, take a bowl or a basket with pumpkins, gourds, cinnamon sticks, and a penny. Pray that the pumpkin brings prosperity, the gourds bring prosperity and protection, and the cinnamon draws it to you. Then add the penny to bring in money. Take the white candle and set it by or in the center of the decor. Dress it with blessing or house blessing oil. Recite Psalms 23 as you pray for the blessings upon everyone at the table. When done, stand before the table, lift your hands up facing outwards to the table and pray Psalms 100 for Thanksgiving, and then state, from the front door to the back, from the youngest to the oldest, from the living to the dead, blessings and peace fill this house and stay with us through another year. Amen. Your table is now prepared for all of your guests to have a blessed Thanksgiving. That is our free spell.
Wow, JD, that was great.
That was very cool.
That's very, very, very cool. I love it. And it's all in the chat. So if you are listening to this on YouTube, and don't bother writing it all down, just come on over to the Lucky Mojo forum, find the show, and it'll all be in there in written words, and you can copy it out. That was an amazing amount of work in one convenient package. I like that a lot.
It really is beautiful and thorough.
Yeah. So I'm going to say one thing I would add. Get the children involved in preparing the table. Any child who has a parent who's not just a guest, you know, but a child of the house should be preparing and helping prepare. The first things I learned to do at Thanksgiving was how to fold napkins. And how to fold napkins. And my grandmother had a tradition of serving the food in, you know, like at a restaurant, first the soup and then, you know, the salad and then the entrees and then the dessert. Mm-hmm. But in the soup, under the soup bowl for the children, that's where the Morgan dollar was.
Oh, very good.
And And so the children, you know, we had learned how to fold napkins and then put the Morgan dollar and then underneath so that everybody who came got that Morgan dollar. And there's things that the children can learn, you know, about counting and about placement, but also about praying. And I always loved to do that. Let the children learn how to stir clockwise when bringing in good things for the future, and to stir counterclockwise when taking away the bad. Mm-hmm. Let the children be part of Thanksgiving.
It's a way of raising prayerful children and mm-hmm. mindful children. It's very cool. I also want to just throw in real quickly here, because we completely forgot to mention it, and it would be remiss of me as a SoCal resident around a lot of Latin American folk not to mention it, but Santísima Muerte's feast day was All Souls Day, All Saints Day, just a couple weeks back, and she's often venerated in memory of ancestors around this time. So not just people think mm-hmm. associate Halloween, but also around Thanksgiving. So giving thanks to the dead, giving thanks to ancestors, giving thanks to Holy Death herself, the mm-hmm. Angel of Death, is also an important aspect of gratitude and thanksgiving and blessing around these times. So just a reminder of that. We mentioned a variety of traditions, but we overlooked the mm-hmm. Latin American tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they start, you know, it kind of all starts with the fall equinox. And mm-hmm. then that's the beginning of the holiday season.
And remembrance and gratitude and ancestors mm-hmm. all kind of come together during this mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope that everybody has a happy
and blessed Thanksgiving.
And for me, one thing we did not mention was chestnuts. In my family, the stuffing is made with chestnuts. Mm. And chestnuts are good for, like buckeye nuts, but they're more edible. Chestnuts are used against arthritis and rheumatism, and for good luck. And so a stuffing made with chestnut is for health, and just something to think about. A stuffing made with celery is for psychic vision, of course. Think about what you do put in your stuffing. You'll find all kinds of reasons to do it. Apples are for blessings of all kinds, fertility, fecundity, and a happy home. So make your stuffing accordingly. All right. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our last little announcements. And if there's a minute or two afterwards, I'll say a word again.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjurman. And thank you, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Brother Christopher of RuneWorker.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us the topic, practical astrology, planetary magic spells, and hoodoo. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman at conjurmanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week via YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available at YouTube at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And that does leave me just a little time to say thank you all for sticking with us this whole show. If we've earned your subscription, now's the time to subscribe.
Yeah.
Please leave a comment. It helps us in the YouTube algorithm. This show will shortly go into invisibility mode while it's edited, and we'll come back next Sunday as a video looped show. Thanks, everybody. You've all been friends for a long time, and we love having you as customers, clients, and Sunday afternoon chat blog participants. Tell your friends about it. And, you know, it's been a while. We started this YouTube channel in January of 2025, and here we are in November. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have thousands of subscribers, and we have hundreds of shows online. And it's all possible because of you guys, people who love us and support us and wish us well. So we wish you well during this Thanksgiving holiday and hope that you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.